Good morning, good morning. Orisel here from Time to Shine. So today we're going to continue our study in the book of Nahum, and we are in chapter 2. So let's go ahead and read it and see what the Lord teaches us and allow us to absorb on this day. So let's go with verse 1. It says, "The one who scatters has come up against you. Men, the fortress, watch the road. And strengthen your back, summon all your strength, for the Lord will restore the splendor of Jacob, like the splendor of Israel, even though devastators have devastated them, and destroyed their vine branches." Verse 3. "The shields of the mighty men are colored red, the warriors are dressed in scarlet, the chariots are enveloped in flashing steel, when he is prepared to march, and the cypress spears are brandished." Verse 4. "The chariots race madly in the streets. They rush wildly in the squares. Their appearance is like torches. They dash to and fro like lightning flashes." So going back to verse 1, it says, "The one who scatters has come up against you." So God was against the Assyrians who had conquered the land and had destroyed the splendor of Jacob, as it says in verse 2, the splendor of Israel. And so God was against them. God was going to be judgment against the Assyrians who had destroyed the land, who had done evil things to the people of God. And so no sin goes unpunished. And so, and let's continue with verse 5. It says, "He remembers his nobles. They stumble in their march. They hurry to her wall, and the mantlet is set up. The gates of the rivers are open, and the palace is dissolved." Verse 7, "It is fixed, she is stripped, she is carried away, and her handmaids are mourning like the sound of doves beating on their breasts." So here it says, "It is fixed, she is stripped, she is carried away." That's on verse 7. So meaning the Assyrians will be destroyed, there will be an army coming against them, so that will be the Babylonians. And they will be carried away. They will be taken into captivity. The Lord saw what they have done to his people. Yes, the Lord brought judgment to his own children through the Assyrians. But the Assyrians were too harsh on them. So he's going to bring judgment against the Assyrians because of what they have done to his people. And so verse 8 says, Though Nineveh was like a pool of water throughout her days, now they are fleeting. Stop, stop. But no one turns back. Plunder the silver, plunder the gold, for there is no limit to the treasure. Wealth from every kind of desirable object." So they had a lot of gold, a lot of silver. But according to some commentaries, this gold and silver has never been found by archaeologists. The pool of water was so spread out throughout the land that even this gold and silver has disappeared, and they're not able to find any of it. In verse 10, it says, "She's emptied, she is desolate and waste. Hearts are melting and knees knocking. All anguish is in the whole body, and all their faces are grown pale. Where is the den of the lions, the feeding place of the young lions? Where is the lion, the lioness, and the lion's cub prowled, with nothing to disturb them?" Prowled, as I should say. And so the national emblem of the Assyrians was a lion. And so, because the lion, would destroy like a lion his people. But God has the right hand. He has the upper hand on things. So let's continue. Verse 12, it says, the lion tore enough of his cubs, killed enough of for his lionesses, and filled his lair with prey, and his dens with tor flashes. So they had killed enough, they have done enough bad things to his people. And here, let's continue with verse 13, the final verse. It says, behold, I am against you, declares the Lord of hosts. I will burn up her chariots in smoke. A sword will devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the land, and no longer would the voice of your messengers be heard. So God, it was gonna be about destructions to them, and says, behold, I am against you. So just imagine how that is, as it's plain in one of the commentators as well. We can go back or to the New Testament, to Romans 8:31. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? So imagine, it says, behold, I am against you. So if God is against them, who can be for them? So the mighty God has the final say. He has the, as I mentioned, the upper hand on things. So in our lives, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from God, as it says in Romans as well? Who can separate us from His love, from all that He is, from His presence? Nobody. Nobody has that power. God has the final say on things, and He will bring judgment at the right time for the wrong that they have committed to us, for the wrong they have done, in this case, to the people of Israel. And He brought judgment. We will see that later on. He brought judgment to the Assyrians. And so I'm going to leave it there today. So that's the message for today. Just basically knowing that if God is for us, who can be against us? As we read in Romans 8:31. Nobody has the final word as God does. He's the ultimate. He is the decision maker of all the earth. He has the final say on all the things. He allows things to happen, but He's the one that brings judgment when His children are being persecuted, when His children are judged wrongly, when His children are put in a bad position, where they're being tortured, where they're being perhaps manipulated, when they are being accused wrongly. So I'll leave it there for today, but I hope you have some time over to read Nahum chapter 2 to see what the Lord instructs you and teaches you. Have a wonderful Monday. Stay encouraged. Stay uplifted. Bye-bye.